And we will call it to order and have the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
I've got roll call. Good evening, Chair and Commission. Roll call, Chair Solu.
Present.
Commissioner Hensley.
Here.
Mr. Mahan.
Here.
Mr. Munoz.
Present.
Mr. Crowley.
Present.
And then let the record show that Commissioner Hale and Hagel are not here and both have called in, unable to come in.
Okay, great. Well, with that, we'll open up for public comment, but seeing no members of the audience, we'll go ahead and close public comment, and there will be no actions in regard to public comment, and if everyone has had a chance to review the minutes of the February meeting, which was our last meeting, we skipped a March meeting, then we could approve the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, and announcements? I would just like to announce that we had the Morbay Community Foundation had the Dixon Spaghetti fundraiser last Friday night, and that it went very well. There was a nice crowd out there. I saw some commissioners in the crowd, and lots of kids and lots of spaghetti and garlic bread, big brownies. And the foundation was able to raise preliminary funds come in at close to $3,000, which
wow.
is nice. It's down from last year, but it's still nice facing our economy and what we have. And so we're really appreciative to the community for that. And those funds, again, go for youth scholarships for Recreation and Parks Commission programs, or Recreation Parks Department programs, rather. Also, the Del Mar School had their fundraiser, and they would like to thank everybody who came out and supported that with goods and services and the wonderful community support there. And they equally are grateful for the funds that they raised, which were about equal to last year, so they're very pleased. And thank you very much to everybody, including our city staff, who generously donated dinner at the firehouse from some of our fire guys, firefighters, and also the ride of a lifetime, where the kids get a police and fire escort to school on the last day of school. And Mayor Peters underwrites the trolley rental on that very kindly. And that alone raised $1,500. So that was really nice. So thank you so much. And any other announcements, Mr. Woods?
No, I don't have any announcements. Thank you.
Just checking.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Then shall we move to new business? Or shall we... Oh, excuse me.
If you'd like to keep the order together, we can do that.
I'd like to move, actually, into a discussion of possibly changing the order. I have to leave early tonight to go to the Los Osos Middle School, and I'm going to have to recuse myself on the A's anyway, on the discussion of the softball tournament package, because my hotel... I don't have to because we're not voting on it, but I just don't even want to be... looking like something could be wrong. My hotel is a vendor on that, and so I would have to recuse myself. And since I have to leave early, could we maybe juggle that? Would that be okay with everyone?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so, yeah, maybe we'll go to reports first. Shall we go to reports? And are you prepared for that, Joe? Mr. Woods, would
yes.
you mind?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. So we'll go to D first.
I think you're going to need to have. Was there a motion? Was there a motion and a vote to change the agenda items?
So I would have to ask you to make a motion, somebody, to change to move to D first.
Okay, I would make a motion to move reports D to the top of the list.
This is on. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. D, reports, Mr. Woods.
Oh, good evening, Chair Solu and Commission. Tonight, we're going to be addressing D1, 2, and 3. They are your participation reports that are reported to you on a monthly basis. I will highlight just a few different things in each report and then open it up for questions at the end. The January 2009 report for participations for the Youth Services Division is up. It looks like about 1,000 participants. And you'll see that in country and Western line dancing has an increase. They had a special workshop, which increased their participations. 39-plus dance group, which meets here at the Vets Hall every Wednesday and has for probably more than 2 to 3 decades, they're showing an increase in participation as well. Some solid numbers come in for Kids Camp, which is over the summer, so you have a little bit of an increase. But the school program, the Kids Club program, rather solid numbers, and they fluctuate a little bit from the morning to the drop-in is where they kind of shuffle around. And then you'll also see an increase over at the teen center. And I think last year we were reporting some decreases, and we thought that it was just a fad or a cycle, program cycle that was going through, and it's turned out to be just that. And so the numbers are kind of going back up, which is exciting. On the flip side of that is the month of February of 2009, and you'll see some similar numbers. There's a decrease in dog obedience. I believe that we had missed a couple of classes that we didn't offer, and we have a new instructor coming online. You'll notice down towards the bottom that we didn't, summer skate hasn't happened yet, and the numbers for Kids Club are fairly similar, and you'll see a similar increase from the year to date as we did in January. The next participation report is for the sports division, and the January 09 report shows a decrease in participations from the previous month, from the year to date. Right now, you'll look at the Adult Softball League, and those numbers are down. It looks like about 1,000 participants. So significant numbers right there on that line. We had no Wednesday night league last fall. And as we go through the years, that will still continue. So you won't lose that until the year is up. Now, we have less programs offered for UK soccer, and you'll see that number, from 60 in the previous fiscal year was 145. Kids Love Soccer is slightly up. Martial arts, we've got a new instructor, and currently there's 18 participants in that class, which is extremely pleasing. We've got karate classes is slightly down, but you've got basketball that shows an increase. And you'll notice, and I'll bring your attention to the graphs that we're showing you, in the previous months you only had a bar graph, and now you have a line graph that shows you each month's participants' numbers. So it's kind of nice to look at the graph and seeing how the program is cycle throughout the year, and you'll see that the numbers are holding their own this fiscal year to date. Now, the sports division on the flip side is February, and those numbers are explained relatively the same as the previous month. The last report you have is D3, which is facilities and parks. The usage report, these are hours used and not number of participants, which is the difference. You have facilities hours used are slightly down from the previous fiscal year. Not quite 100 down. But the parks pick it up, and it looks like we increased an increase over 200 hours of use from the previous year. This bar graph does not illustrate the ones that they did before. So if you're thinking that it's just one line increasing all the way up, mm-hmm. It's not the case. And we've accumulated those, so they will go up. However, next month you'll see that we'll break it down into month by month, and you'll see more of a pattern of uses as opposed to a cumulative number. Couple of events that happened again. Obviously, the Winter Bird Festival happened in January, and we also had the baseball boosters from the high school having their crab feed. So those are two programs that have been consistent throughout the years. February, you've got numbers that are slightly down, about 100 hours of usage to date for the month of February. For the facilities and the parks, there's a slight increase as well, about 150. You're looking at roughly, not quite 100 hours of use. And then those programs that happen on an annual basis, the Sterile Bay Surf Club, the Fundraiser Follies, as well as the athletic boosters, all have been here before and continue to use our facilities. I would open it up for questions at this time.
Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, we could take a motion to accept those for file.
Motion to accept reports D1, 2, and 3 for file.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. And a senior representative report?
Yes, I have just one item. The seniors will be starting their bingo, and that will be on the first Friday of every month, beginning tomorrow night. The doors open at 5, and the bingo will start shortly after that. So we encourage everyone to arrive early so that they can begin.
And that's here in the Vets Hall?
That's here in the Vets Hall. Thank you.
Okay, and are there any commissioner reports? I have none. I'll be having another meeting of the Morro Bay Community Foundation, but that'll be for next month.
Okay.
So, shall we move to accept? The senior representative report, Joe? Do we need to accept that for file?
Yes, we do.
Motion to accept the senior representative report for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you very much. Okay. Now that we're out of order, we should move through E.
We can start our public hearing no later than 5:30. So
right.
You certainly can go into E right now and then go back to the top. Certainly.
We're about on time there. So okay. So public hearings E. We are having to move to E1, which is the review of our master fee schedule.
Good evening again, Chair Solu and Commission. The master fee schedule was brought to you on an annual basis when it's reviewed. And you may not get it at the Commission every year, but it certainly goes to City Council for adoption every year. So we don't have any changes in our master fee schedule at our department level, then we reviewed it and just passed it forward. But this time, this year, we're asking you to review the master fee schedule as part of an annual review and help staff make some recommendations and some changes to that master fee schedule. Your review will entail a few things this evening. One is the current master fee schedule that's implemented right now. And I would direct you all to pull out your matrix, if you will, or the spreadsheet, the last two sheets, and I'll do a little bit of explaining about what's currently happening. Right now, on the top, it'll say facilities, classification, and also a current hourly rate. So currently what you have is a master fee schedule that is broken into sections as far as a priority of a group. And those priorities are A, B, C, D, and E. And each group designated by their priority. So it's a nonprofit organization or public school, it's a priority B. Priority C are private resident groups. D are non-resident groups, and E is a profit-making organization. Priority A is our groups that use the facilities right now at no cost. or minimal costs. And I should be cautioned about that. City of Morro Bay, we don't charge ourselves for using this facility for tonight's meeting. We do not charge the veterans groups to use the veterans hall for a veterans program. Oftentimes we'll get veterans coming in for a birthday party, and that doesn't qualify. If it's a veterans group using a veterans building for a veterans program, then they're priority A. And then the Senior Citizens Incorporated, they obviously are using our facilities. And our agreement with them is at a mutually agreed upon fee. And right now they're using our facilities, as Commissioner Munoz says, for bingo, and there is no charge for that use. There's no charge for the state or the Federal Food Commodities Program and so forth. They have reimbursed us for direct cost when it's been mutually agreed upon, and we've gotten some reimbursements for our emeritus program. So that explains basically priority A. The other nonprofit, resident, non-resident, and profit-making organizations stand defined. If you need some clarification, let me know. We have gathered a variety of fee schedules throughout the county for comparison for this upcoming fiscal year. And you'll see those across the top. Pismo Beach, Shell Beach, Atascadero, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and also Grover Beach. Now, it's difficult to get apples to apples across the board because people have different size rooms. They have different amenities in those rooms. They have different service levels. So we've tried to do our best to compare what room they're offering to the size of the room that we have. So you'll see those comparisons throughout. Realize that...
Excuse me, Mr. Woods, would you have a copy of this for the overhead for the public so that they could follow along? Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's fine. I think that's a good idea to let those, because a lot of times at home they don't have this information. It's tough to follow us. So we were at the comparison with other cities, and when you see our classifications of priorities, you know, A through E, we tried to extend that over, and you'll see that there are boxes and there are shades that kind of lump it together. So you'll see at San Luis Obispo, they have nonprofit organization is $46 for an auditorium, but the rest of the groups are all combined, whereas we break them down into four. You'll see that Paso Robles has one fee for the auditorium, regardless of what group you are. There are three categories for Atascadero, and then we didn't find any like comparisons for Shell Beach or Pismo, so we left those blank. So you can see how, and then Grover Beach gives you a range. So you kind of put it all together and figure out what are we actually doing and how do we compare, how are we soliciting fair market value for our properties. We rent them on an hourly or a daily basis. So we went through this and we're saying, okay, what could we do to simplify some of our operations? How do we increase revenues, quite frankly? And as we review this master fee schedule, we've noticed that basically we haven't increased these fees since 2002. So there's been some adjustments on some park usage fees, but there hasn't been an across-the-board increase in fees. And later in the report, you'll see that we've asked you to consider tying this master fee schedule for our department to the CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index, so we can adjust on an annual basis with a consistent basis, if you will, with other city departments. So we can go back to some of our classifications, and we've proposed basically three things for you to consider tonight in this discussion. One is the current hourly rate for city facilities and leaving it the way it is, four different priorities. We're going to eliminate the top. We won't discuss priority A because that's a no fee. But the four priorities, four categories, leaving them the same and having the prices the same, and then maybe considering a across-the-board increase tied to the CPI. The second option, obviously, it outlines here is option one, and then there's option two. We could say option three is just leaving it the way it is. So any changes are going to be option one and two. Option one takes your classifications and combines the first two with the second two. So basically, nonprofit and residents get combined as one unit, and non-residents and profit-making organizations are merged into one unit. And it's illustrated by the boxes underneath fee option one. Fee option two, and I'll get some details back, and I'll backtrack. Fee option two takes nonprofit, resident, and non-resident, puts them in one category, and leaves profit-making organizations as their own category. We felt that as compared to other cities, that this would be a logical option, either one or two, and obviously your fallback is to remain what we have as far as an option three, not changing our priorities or classifications. So what we've done is we've given you the current numbers and what each room costs for each group using it. And can you imagine working the front desk and explaining to a person what priority they are, what classification, and what room they want, and then the hourly rate, and then you've just touched base on that, and now you're getting into deposits and all the other things that go along with the room rental. So it can be a lengthy discussion with them, and we've tried some various things. We've directed people to our website where they can download the fee matrix and the application. We've asked them to come in. We've mailed packets. So we've done all that, but we're still looking a way to simplify this whole process. So combining these offers two things. It offers us, one, a simpler approach to meeting classifications of groups that are requesting the facility use, and also allows us to do a minor adjustment to the fees that are assigned to the different classifications. And then we'll take option one for the auditorium, because it's at the top of the page, just for an example. As you combine nonprofit and resident organizations, $34 and $45 respectively, you come up with, if they're combined, it's an average of $40. So basically, per hour. $40 per hour. So basically, you're looking at as close to or a little bit slightly higher than as a 10% increase for nonprofit organizations. Okay? Down to a residence, you're looking at a decrease in amounts charged by about 5 to 8%. And if I could stop for a moment and direct your attention to the pie graph sheet that you have, this illustrates which groups, the nonprofit organizations, the residents, the profit, how many hours they're using our facility. Basically, what you're looking at. You're looking at nonprofits from July 08 to March 09 at 56% use. It does not include the use of city staff, senior citizens, or co-sponsored events. It does not include affiliated clubs, nor does it include park usage or a conference room, which is at no cost, or other groups that are being charged direct costs only. So this is a pretty true picture of who's using your buildings and what percentage. So 56% of your use is coming from nonprofit organizations. Basically, those are fundraising programs that the high school comes in or other various groups in the community. So to get back to our option one, we have an increase of approximately 10% for any nonprofit organization who's using 56% of your usage. The residents are 21% of your usage, and you're going to be showing a decrease of probably somewhere around 5 to 8%. Depends on the room that they're going to be using. The second part of this is the consolidation of non-residents with profit-making organizations. The non-residents, again, will be increased approximately 10%, and the profit-making organizations will be decreased anywhere between 5 and 8%. And so several questions come to mind when you're saying, well, you're decreasing fees for residents, and I think everybody says yay, and then you're decreasing the rates for profit-making organizations. And then you scratch your head and go, why would we do that? Again, there's two folds here. We're trying to make this package a little simpler for the user and beneficial for the city as well. So the decrease in profit-making organizations, city staff is saying that we will look to realize that in other areas of the application. Our facility use and park use allow the city, actually, say the city will charge when there's concessions involved in the program, the city will charge a flat rate or a percentage of the gross receipts. And that's something that we would want to look into as we're setting up profit-making organizations that have large vendors or concessionaires, that since we're reducing their hourly rate, we could recuperate that by taking a percentage or a flat rate of their concessions. So, and to let you know a little bit of history, we don't have a whole lot of profit-making organizations here. You look at the percentage, it says 12% on your pie graph, but basically that's only one or two programs that are multiple days. The miniature, the Dollhouse and Miniature Show is one of them. They're a profit-making organization. They come in on Friday, and it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. It's very large. It's probably our biggest rental, and we're looking at a fee of a little over $2,000 for that one rental. That is significant. But generally, I mean, that's why you get 12%. For the most part, there's not many other profit-making organizations that come in and rent the facilities. They may be doing public air use permits, but they're not doing as much facility rentals. I would certainly stop for a question.
Yes, so I have a question. So let's take, for example, the Dollhouse event.
Yes.
Dollhouse and Miniature event. I just want to make this clear or understand it clearly. They rent the room. And within the room, do they have separate vendors, like breakout booths within the room?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and then would those breakout booths be charged a percentage of gross sales? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what we're saying.
Okay.
And I'm reflecting back on some history that we've had something very similar, where the vendor themselves, part of that program, they usually get charged a vendor booth fee to the person putting it on.
Okay,
so
right.
So the applicant is going to be charged, saying, we're going to charge you a flat rate because we don't want to get into all your concession, all your vendors' mm-hmm. gross receipts. We're going to say, you know what, that's going to be too complicated for everybody to get into, a lot of detail, probably not worth the hassle. We would agree on a flat rate for that event and be done with it. Now, this particular vendor does a concession. He does a snack bar. So there may be saying, oh, we don't want a flat rate for all your vendors, but we'd like a percentage of your gross receipts for your snack bar. So that's another thing. So staff has some flexibility when we approach different applicants with that have vendors that are charging and having concessions. So not just information vendors, but vendors that are actually selling and making money. So it could be a flat rate that we go and work with the applicant, or it could be a gross receipts.
So you're saying any vendor. You're not just saying concession vendors? I just want to make sure.
When you say concessions,
when I say concession,
you
mean
food?
I mean sodas and hot dogs.
When
I say vendor, I mean at the doll show, the guy is selling miniature hats.
Okay. I understand. When I talk about concessions, I don't just mean food. I mean anything that they're making. They're selling T-shirts,
miniature hats.
Miniatures, a burger, that's all concessions. Vendors, some have concessions, some vendors don't. I have a vendor fair that everyone's nonprofit passing out literature and for the support of their program. So that's where I would define the vendors as opposed to concessionaires.
Okay, so besides the Doll and Miniature Show, can you name a few of the 12% of the ones that are for profit? Are there, for example,
they're going to be a much smaller scale.
Are any of them the festivals?
No.
Okay, that's what I was
Yeah, the nonprofit organizations are, we haven't gotten into any of that right now. We have one vendor at our summertime slam softball tournament for girls. He comes out and he makes T-shirts, and he does give us a percentage of his receipts. And if he doesn't quite make 500, I think he rounds it up and gives us a check for 500. Because he likes the exposure and he does make money out there, and he's come back year after year. We haven't brought that across the board. And it's something that I would take very seriously, considering all of our particular programs, all the public air use permits, the different type of applicants that come in, and we would want to discuss this a little bit further about how we apply our concession fee, if you will. It's loose, it's general, it's on the back of your application for both facilities and for parks.
Perhaps we could bring that back next month.
We certainly could. And we can continue moving on then with option one. Please.
I was just curious, what's the reasoning behind raising the fee for the non-for-profit people? Or is that because the percentage is the highest in the, on the pie chart? Just wondering.
That would be convenient. The highest percentage for the highest rate. there were several reasons. As we put this together, I mean, you look at we're trying to be fair and equitable across the board. There hasn't been any increase since 2002. So really, if we tied it to the CPI and you went back to 2002, you'd probably get to 15% to 18% pretty quick. So as we combine them. And we said, "Ooh, look, nonprofit." And we realized that nonprofit organizations are going to be charged more, about 10% more, and they are 56% of your usage. And if you said that, same with the non-resident rates, they're going to be increased by 10%. So now you have close to 70% of your actual users being increased by at least 10%. And if we tied the CPI on there, it would probably be another 10%. So realistically, you could be looking at close to 20% increase on 70% of your users for the next fiscal year and beyond. Mm. Will it hurt our revenues? I don't think so. I think you're going to find that these organizations come in on an annual basis. They are fundraising, for the most part, fundraising events for nonprofit organizations. If they are fundraising, which is difficult in these times, as you told, Chair Solu just mentioned that she did too, and they both were decreased probably by closer to 20%. And I'm looking to increase the rates. So maybe a combination of these now would be good, and maybe not across a CPI increase at this time, but I think that these are things that we should be discussing. So when we have an increase for nonprofit organizations, how would that look when it goes out there? Nonprofits will probably need to increase the ticket sales by $1 or $2. They may need to look at some creative ways in which they're providing their program. But it looks to me that we need to do something with our fee structure. It can't sit dormant for another 8 years or 7 years. It needs to be adjusted. And if you can see some of the logic there, that residents of Morro Bay would be getting a break.
Yeah, I think I like the idea that the Morro Bay residents do get a break, but by the same token, it looks like we've had the lowest rates countywide for a while.
Yes, we have.
So there's certainly some, it seems like a logical step to go for that increase. But by the same token, our residents do get a break, which is great. I think that's a big advantage. The question I would have is for the for-profits and non-residents, I would just keep it at the, in example number one, for example, for the auditorium, I would keep it at the $93 rate.
Right. Well, we're talking probably one to two particular applicants for profit-making organizations. The increase...
And including non-residents. I mean, my thought was, if we're going to change the fee schedule and it's going to be in place for another 8 or 10 years, we might as well make the change now and keep the max rate for the profits, the for-profits that they've been accustomed to paying for the last 8 years anyway. I don't see the logic in reducing the rate for the for-profits
and
the non-residents.
I would direct that we're closely getting to option two, and option two does combine non-residents, residents, and non-profits, and does not affect the profit-making organizations. So that may be an option for you. Realize
but then
that
the residents no longer get
the
their
residents,
break.
The residents will not get any kind of a break on the fees, and the other two, the nonprofit and the non-residents, would both experience an adjustment.
Right.
So when you have a nonprofit organization having an increase in fees, staff feels that they have an organization and several venues in which to make that difference up and are able to pay. Now, residents don't have that option.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt like if we're going to increase the fees, increase them on a nonprofit organization as opposed to the residents of Morro Bay.
Right.
Because they're more willing and apt to pay, as well as their 56% of your user groups.
Well,
so you are getting a little bit more. You're only increasing them by, we're talking about $6 an hour. On average, if you do a 10-hour program, it's a $60 increase on that program. And to me, I think that a $60 increase on a 10-hour fundraiser, you should be able to recoup $60 for that and put that in the till. And now, as we accumulate those throughout the fiscal year, we're increasing our revenues, but not breaking the bank and saying, hey, we've outpriced ourselves in the market, because you can see the $6 increase for a nonprofit organization still puts you below Atascadero, Paso Robles.
Well after 4 p.m. And I would suggest to you that if the room is going to be rented for more than $6, it should automatically roll over into a day use.
That's
based on setup and tear down. Because in addition to that, you won't be able to have an event in there before that, and you won't be able to have an event in there after that, because of the block of time that's being consumed there. So there should be an hourly rate for the yoga people or the gymnastics folks who want to come in because their gym, the ceiling fell in or something, and they need a place to have yoga on Tuesday. They come in, they're set up, they're in there an hour, and they're gone. But a wedding or the dollhouse function or, a turtle show or the Gem and Mineral show, as an idea, I would think that we would need to look at having an easy day use rate.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a really good idea, But, I think that's a great idea. But I also want to go back to the fact that it seems not quite, in my mind, it seems that we're reassessing the fee schedule because we haven't increased rates in 8 years. However, we are decreasing. It shocks me to decrease the rate for the for-profits. I can't connect with that. I think we should either...
For the profit-making organizations?
Yeah.
There's a decrease illustrated by option one. It holds its own in option two.
Well, I guess I like option one, but I want that combo with option two. The $40 rate, for example, for the nonprofit and residents, because we're giving our residents a break, and any break we can give local residents is great. If we can help residents take advantage of our facilities, that's great. But I would then bring that 93 back in.
Can I ask, are you suggesting... I'm sorry, are you suggesting a 40... let's take the MBCC auditorium.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting, as an example, 40 for the nonprofit resident, 48 for the non-resident, and 93 for the for-profit?
No, because then we want to simplify the schedule. I'm suggesting 40 for the non-profit resident and 93 for the non-resident and for-profit.
Uh-huh. And
in addition, your idea of the flat rate for the day use.
Would you do two flat rates at day use, one for non-profits and one for non-resident for-profit? I mean, because, I'm just wondering...
Maybe the flat rate should be the one flat rate. Again, we're going for simplification, and if we have one full day flat rate, that might be might aid in simplifying.
May I, Chair and Commission? The conversation that you're getting around is certainly something we consider. Having a flat rate for a facility for the entire day has its advantages. It also has disadvantages. When we're talking about a program that is 8 to 10 hours long, yes, I think there's a threshold, maybe a percentage that we could look at that says you're going to take over so many percentages of the day that it's open, and now you've kicked into a full day price. But keep in mind, you've got other groups that are using this on an hourly basis. Very convenient for me to come in and host a 2 or 3 hour program and then break for lunch within the community, which is great. So you'll have groups, particularly resident groups, that come in and want to have a baby shower or something that's on a smaller scale. And I think that the hourly rate is very convenient. It makes it very financially doable for them.
Yeah, nobody's suggesting completely, I don't think, completely taking the hourly rate away. I think what we're saying is there comes a point where the hours roll up and you can't do anything before, you can't do anything after, and maybe you have a baby shower who'd like to come in, but the wedding reception is in here. The baby shower needs 3 hours, but the wedding reception needs the room basically from 12 to 12, but they need set up at 10. It's a no-go for the baby shower. So you're actually turning business away because you have something in here at noon. How often does that happen? Probably not very often, but it would be nice to have a flat rate for... I wish that would happen every day, just so you know.
Sure, thank you.
But, you know, it would be nice to have that flat rate to just say to them, look, if you're taking it 12 to 12... or if you're taking it for 10 hours, guess what? You pay for the whole 14 hours that the building exists open for. And it's available to you during those hours.
This, you know, usually these events that come in that are multi-hour and multi-day, I'm pretty sure they...
That's a statement we're making, right?
Yes.
I just want to bring that awareness because is that a statement we want to make that's positive for Morro Bay and friendly and welcoming?
It's a sign of the economic times, too.
Right.
We can raise their fees and continue to go, or we can stay at the level and have nothing to offer them if it gets to that point.
I think that there's, Jeff is right in many ways, there's a delicate balance here. I mean, we have to be able to present the Recreation and Parks Department in the forward moving years to be able to show a balance of effectiveness and effective fee structure and effective management. But also, I understand your position that...
the message we're sending.
The message that we're sending. And I think that also, if you take... There does need to be a consideration of... fee increase when you look across the board at what we're charging compared to many other cities.
Well, yeah. That's what I was just looking at. I mean, if you look at option two, we would still be lower than any other city countywide.
Well, that's
pretty much.
That's for the auditorium. But if you move down, you know, we would be higher than Pismo Beach for the multi-purpose room. If we used item or option two, rather not item, but rather option two.
I wanted to interject, if I could, I apologize, that the bulk of your rentals and the revenues are going to come from the auditorium complete and the vets hall complete. When you break down, you look at the studio room or the multi-purpose room, these are events that are probably smaller in scale and shorter in duration. The big ticket items are going to be the noon to midnight baptism, wedding reception, quinceanera. They're going to be your big fundraisers that are 10 to 10 with the golf course coming in and the athletic boosters and so forth. So I think that and if I can comment on Chair Solu, they're rolling in, maybe there's a percentage, there'd be hourly rate until you hit a certain hour, and then anything after, say, 6 hours, you fall into the day rate. And the day rate lumps it in, and we calculate a fee that's comparable. I don't know if it's a, it shouldn't be any less than the hourly rate, but we can work on something like that. The concern that we have, and we would want to discuss this probably a little further, about assigning staff. Now you've got a day rate. Now I've got to have staff there to complete time. So we want to make sure that a day rate is going to include all of our...
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Now you have to have staff what?
We want to make sure our staff is going to have to cover that. So it's going to be, and I've got it from 10 to 10, but really my program is going to end about 6 o'clock in the evening, but I'm going to have to rent it for the full day. Now is there a chance for them to hang on a little longer? Staffing scheduling is something that we want to consider. Not a deal breaker, something to consider.
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Does staff have a preference between option 1 and 2? Has there been an internal vote on the issue, or just?
No, we don't vote on these things. Not until they come into the public for discussion, and that's why we're here. We want to flesh out some of our ideas because that's what we designed option 1 and option 2, and then option 3. Remember, is remaining the same. And there certainly has some validity to having it stay the same. Nonprofit organizations are shown to be valued, and so have a reduced rate because they're struggling. They're part of our community, and theoretically, they're putting what they earn back into our community. So we can recognize that. Residents, the same thing. They're a reduced rate, a little bit higher for non-residents, and a little higher for profit-making organizations. There is some logic to what we have now. It's just it isn't not working. It's working fine. But we're thinking about how can we manipulate what we have now, make it simpler, and increase the fees, the potential revenues. And increasing potential revenues is a goal of your city council. And so as staff looks at that priority and that goal from city council, how can I help council meet their needs as far as increasing revenues? Well, one of the ways is combining these groups into from 4 to 2. Half of them are going to increase, half are going to decrease. The ones that increase are going to increase about 10 or so percent. The decreases are less, 5 to 8%. You have a concession fee that's available for you for groups that are having concessions. And then you have the bulk of the users.
For nonprofits and residents. And then the $93 cost for non-residents and for-profits. The reason for this is it's a minor increase for nonprofits, so we're not hitting them over the head. We're only increasing by $6 an hour as opposed to $14 an hour. So it's a bit of a milder increase. And we still remain below every other town's rate countywide. So I think we still remain extremely competitive. And because non-residents and for-profits are a minor percentage of our facility usage, I would just leave it where it's at the 93. So then if the concern is the increase in revenue, I don't understand the justification for bringing down that rate for the for-profits. So that's my suggestion.
So can I clarify?
Sure.
Can I understand what you're saying? So you're saying nonprofit residents would be combined and would use the average?
Yes.
And then we would combine non-residents and profit and we use the profit-making rate.
Exactly.
And not an average.
That's correct.
I have to say I was thinking the same thing. And as you were speaking, I did some quick math. And if we used a 100-hour formula, if we took the non-resident and the profit to the same rate of $93, and we used a 100-hour formula, 100 hours of rental would be a $2,900 increase on from our current rate for non-residents. if they rented it only for 100 hours this next year. So we as a city would receive an additional $2,900 above whatever we received normally this year. And for the profit making, it would have been $1,400. And sorry, I'm a slow math. I'm not one of my sons. And so that gives us an additional $4,300 that you would have earned from those two groups. Now, going back up, if we used a $6 increment, as Commissioner Mahan is suggesting, then obviously at 100 at 100 hours, we would be receiving an additional $600. I was looking at that myself, thinking I think we should divide it there. I think that non-residents, you know, we have some really nice facilities here that they don't have in some of the towns close to us, but also we do charge higher non-resident rates for recs and parks, for example, for soccer, for some of the other services that we provide, and perhaps we could look at it there. If we went a little bit higher with the non-resident rate, I think that we could possibly do that a little bit lower with the non-profit rate.
To add to that, if you look at our pie chart, non-residents are 11%, so it's a very minor group. So if we increase their rate from 64 to 93, I think it's probably a non-issue. It's such a minor group. It's not going to be a big problem. I'd rather give the extra perks to our residents and have the non-residents pay a little bit more.
I agree, but the only thing is I think that jump is too high to hit at one time, because you're going from 64 to 93, which is $29.
But only...
And I could see leaving the profit at 93, but I think that's just too high of a jump.
So would you stagger it over a two-year period?
We could raise it, of course, and then come back in another few years and raise it again. But I just don't think it should be that high. Nonprofit's going to look, and I'm looking at the MBCC, is $6, which is not much, but yet, like I say, it's taking to the people renting. It's a big hit. You know, really, $6 isn't much, but when you go by hours and days, and that's the only thing that bothers me, is taking the bigger hits on those.
On the non-residents?
On the non-profit and the resident. The resident's good, because we're lowering it for them, which I think is great. So I just don't think we should be hitting them as hard. The suggestions are good.
You mean the non-residents as hard?
Yes. That's $29 right there.
Mm-hmm. And that's for the auditorium.
So, right. And then...
Let's look at the multi-purpose.
And then, like you say, you can... the multi-purpose room. That one looks
$19.
Reasonable, you know.
Mm.
But...
you can also look at the Vets Hall Complete, mm-hmm. where non-resident is coming to Morro Bay for one reason or another. And a lot of the reason is because their family is here. And it's going to be a 100th year anniversary, 50th anniversary or 100th birthday party. And so the applicant convinces the resident to submit the application for them. And so now you have the group working as, now the resident puts the application in, and better than 50% of the attendees are residents, and that's where you get the higher percentage of resident rates. And it doesn't happen all the time, but frequently it does happen, mm-hmm. where a non-resident will call us, and then they'll hook up with a family member to do their program here.
What are the events that typically come in that are non-resident then?
Non-resident venues.
What are those events?
They're going to be groups that are coming, private groups that are coming here on a special visit. They're going to do reunions and so forth. I don't have a detail of all the non-resident usage.
Sorry, like seminars and convention type?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is it seminars, conventions? Is it a wedding from Fresno? Is it, you know, what What is it?
Typically, I would categorize like a family reunion from, I would say, I don't want to jump into conclusions, but I would say typically a family reunion from the Valley. And we have them coming into our parks. They come into our facilities. They come here and they have, and the majority of them are not residents of Morro Bay, and they come here for Easter break. And all of a sudden their group is 20 to 30 and they don't fit in grandma's house anymore, so they'll rent this facility out as a non-resident rate. So it does happen. It is not nearly as frequent as the numbers you can see for residents and nonprofits. But they are out there. And we do cater to them. And so the increase in fees it's increased from the residents because they're not here in our town.
Okay, I do want
on a regular basis.
I wanted to
kind of cap some things before we leave facilities. There is option one, there is option two, there is the existing option, which is three, all of which can be increased by how they're explained in options one, two, and combining, as well as an increase tied to the CPI. And that is in the last part of your report. But before we even want to jump into that, I wanted to direct your attention to the additional fees. And as staff is evaluating the services that we provide for applicants, on the right-hand side, you'll see that we currently do request a deposit check of $150. It goes to $500 if you're going to have alcohol or live music at your program. We charge groups $21.50 an hour for setup and breakdown. Currently, we are very limited in our resources and are not offering that service to every applicant. It's very time-consuming, and right now our resources are allocated in other areas. The Veterans Memorial Building, the stage that you're on, we break this down and set it back up, and we do charge a rate of $76 per. Those three charges are now currently on your master fee schedule. Staff is looking to increase the additional fees to recuperate some of the services that the city offers to applicants during their rental. One such fee would be a janitorial per-event basic cleaning fee. The basic cleaning fee will be non-refundable. It will be $140 for the community center and $100 for the Veterans Memorial Building. So we're saying that at the Vets Hall or the community center, if you have a wedding reception and it is a significant program, you're saying about 250 people at your program, it's a 8 to 10 hour program, there will be a cleanup fee and it's non-refundable. Right now, those services are provided and absorbed by the hourly rate. And if you can see that if a nonprofit group is paying $34 an hour and we're doing the cleanup, there's something that we're missing, and we're trying to address that. So we're trying to recuperate some of our costs, not just increase the revenues. The other is a unscheduled overtime. Right now, we do not have that in our fee matrix, and when we don't have a fee in there, we're not able to charge the applicant. So if we do have overtime, unscheduled overtime, we're able to charge that applicant twice the hourly rate, and currently is $21.50. In addition to these, another additional fee that we're looking to add music for dancing. The insurance fee is already applicable. That is a premium that is non-refundable, obviously, and it starts about $88, and I think the cap is about $150-something. But that's on a case-by-case basis. It has gone as high as $1,000 for a surfing contest. The Big Bad and the Ugly ask us to provide insurance. We have a questionnaire that we send to our carrier, and then the premium quote is given to us and paid by the applicant.
Do the people still have to pay that insurance fee, even if they're privately insured?
Yes, we have two options on insurance. You can either provide us with commercial general liability insurance with a certificate and the endorsement that names the city of Morro Bay as additionally insured. Or you can fill out our short form application and we can give you a premium quote through. We've got two companies that we try to get you the best rate, Drive Our Alliance and Diversified Risk, I believe it is. So we've got two companies that the city offers premiums to the applicant, and we've been very competitive. A lot of groups come to us, and we'll give them a better rate than they can get on a rider on their existing policy.
Okay.
So we do that. And then if I could maybe just finish this last two, we're asking to put in a permit processing fee of $7.50, and right now we do have a cancellation fee of 20% of the invoiced amount. That is something that we consider when the cancellation is happening. If it's less than 2 weeks, basically they're going to surrender the 20%. If it is more than that, they're going to take. If it's closer to the event, if it's more than 2 weeks prior to your event, you are eligible to get your 80%. We charge you 20% cancellation. If it is within 2 weeks, then it is at the discretion of staff regarding that 20%. And basically, we don't give you a refund on the cancellation less than 2 weeks in advance.
Okay.
So those are the additional fees. So if you could maybe gear some discussion about those fees, and then we can kind of cap this sheet, and then staff is more than happy to come back with your recommendations if they are if they're extremely different than what we have. If you're saying you want an option 4 or an option 5, then that we can outline that. Just keep in mind that this master fee schedule update will be going to City Council. I think it's in the second meeting in June. So staff could bring this back to you for additional review in your May meeting.
Okay. So I do have an option 4 in my mind. And
the option 5.
Well, sorry. It would be option 5, 55. I understand the staff's desire to streamline how we're doing this, and that's why we've shifted from a 4-layered rate schedule to the 2-layer possibility in each kind of bracket. I also understand Commissioner Munoz and his concern for raising rates that have not been adjusted, for them to spike so dramatically in one step. And so I'd like to take, for example, considering all of the additional fees at the right, the Morro Bay Auditorium, and I would like to use a non-resident, and I've done some quick and dirty math, so forgive me if I'm off a little, but if you take a non-resident for a 10-hour rental for a wedding, that 10-hour rental is seven. If we increase $7, which is would be, I'm sorry, an increase would be $71 an hour. If we increase them $7, and my option is to leave the profits at the $93, increase the non-residents by $7, and take the nonprofit and the residents at $40. So we have a 3-tiered rate structure instead of a 4-tiered rate structure. And if we take them to $71, I just want to clarify this. At 10 hours, it would be a $710 rental fee. $140 for janitorial service takes them now to $850. $76 additional, what was that for? The $76. Well, no, that's first. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's scratch the stay juice. We have to pull $76 out of there. So we're still at the $850. If we add got for rental for the Veterans Building for a 10-hour wedding. What is that? That's somebody's probably faster than me, and if you are, say it out loud. And don't laugh at me. You're at $1,272.50. Is that right? Does everybody see that?
Yeah, we could probably ballpark it.
Yeah, so you're basically at $1,300 for your rental fee for the Veterans Building, for the community center for your 10-hour wedding. If you're a non-resident, meaning if you're coming in from Cayucas or you're coming in from Fresno, and I'm wondering, I'm asking you, now that you see all of those fees laid in there, it's one thing to say for your hourly rate, yeah, take it to 93, but then when you see those fees laid in there, I feel more comfortable saying, let's take the non-residents up $7 or $10 for each one. I like the fee schedule of averaging the top two, meaning the not-for-profit and the residents, if we take those and average them, because we are going to need to see an increase in order for the department to stay level with the rising cost increase that we're going to incur for, you know, cost of living increases for staff, light bills, everything that we incur. We do, you know, they are a customer. We do have to pass it on at some point. We can't continue to completely absorb it as a city. So I think it's fair to say let's average those, possibly take a $7 to $10 increase on the non-residents and continue to keep our profits, our for-profits, at the same higher rate structure that we have. I don't see taking a decrease in their rates as sensible. I personally don't. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you on my proposal, mm-hmm. is what yeah. I'm saying.
Well, I think that sounds better, but that would make it kind of complicated for staff to...
We're trying to leave it at two categories, yeah.
So basically I'm saying we go from four to three.
Certainly. Chair Solu, I don't think that you're going to throw us off the horse as far as staff, because we can pretty much handle as much complex fee matrix as you can give us. We're reflecting on our service to the community. And as they see something that's very simply outlaid, that makes sense to me, I fit right in here. Well, I have to struggle with where I fit in. Then I'm going to go on, I'm getting leery about the process, and I'm kind of backpedaling. A lot of groups will come in, and they can identify, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm going to charge. Don't give me any hidden fees. Let me know out front. So we give you the hourly rate, and we say these are the, not hidden fees, but additional fees. These fees that we described that are new fees that we're proposing for consideration are fees that are out there in the fair market value. They are in the marketplace. They are out there in all the other cities. Additional fees for your staff, for your cleanup, for security guards. These are all direct fees that are just passed on. We do that now with public area use permits. They're estimated fees, but when the Harbor Festival is over, guess what? We send them a bill for all the harbor officers, the police officers, and the firemen that are servicing that event. And they are direct costs, and they are related specifically to the services that are rendered for their event. So that's what we're trying to do, is be consistent with, okay, if we're having additional fees in this area, why can't we appropriate fees that recuperate the cost of our services that are rendered during facility rentals? And that's where you see the additional fees. So we don't want to continue to try to absorb those into the hourly rate, because I think your hourly rates, as you said earlier, are much lower across the board.
I agree. I'm not saying that you're trying to do that. I understand the need for these additional fees. I understand the need for security. I understand the need for, you know, the light bill and the person to open and close the building, make sure it's secured so we don't have, you know, bats in the belfry or whatever, mm-hmm. but I understand our desire to consolidate the fee structure, having to want it be simpler, but also you're saying let's consolidate this fee structure and only have, as staff, one of the suggestions was to consolidate it and only have a two-tiered fee structure, but then we get back into fees. So we say we have a two-tiered fee structure, but then we have fees over here. So I don't think there is a simple way to do it. And you know, I would prefer not to take the profit.
I have
down in rate.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah, please, let's hear it.
That, for the department, that's part of the reason why we're doing this. Is 4079 too minor of an increase in both categories where we'll be revisiting in 2 years? We've done it once in 8 years. We hopefully won't have to do it again for another 8 years. That would be great. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Would 4585 make sense?
No, I want to have to say some clarification that there has been some adjustments to the master fee schedule since 2002, but they haven't been a complete review. I think a few years back we rounded it up because we had pennies that we were dealing with. I think the auditorium for a nonprofit was $20.01. And so, well, we were tied to a very strict application of how we increase fees. And so we were there and we did that, and then we came back and we said, hey, it really makes sense if we could just round these up to some whole numbers, and that's what we did. So there has been some adjustments to this. Now, you realize that the classifications for nonprofit, non-resident, resident, and nonprofit, profit, non-resident, resident rates are there. Now, you can say we like to keep these categories because we feel that they're applicable to helping out the nonprofit and benefiting the city when the profit making comes in. And that makes sense. I mean, as I said, there was some logic to what we have existing. We're looking at different options. We also are looking at an increase, and as I said earlier, tied to the CPI. And if you look back to like 2006, I think you're looking at anywhere between 10 and 12% increase. And that's something that we certainly should be looking at doing, particularly if we want to keep the existing, and I'll use option three, pardon me, while it's not illustrated, but it's the current rate. You took the current fee structure and said, you know what, don't touch the classifications, but increase everybody across the board by 10, 11, 12% tied to the CPI, then you're at least getting us up into some fees that will be able to generate revenues to recuperate our costs. And more importantly, if you added the additional fees, we don't necessarily have to charge those to every group. Chair Solu added the security guards at a drop of a hat at $20 an hour at 10 hours. Well, that's significant. We may not do that. We may have one guard for only 4 hours during the time the band plays. So we really take in consideration how much we're going to be charging the group and making it financially feasible for them to come to our program and not be charged, you know, $2,000 for this wedding reception. But we do definitely need to make it a fair market rate, and we do need to recuperate some of our services that were being rendered for those events. So given that, and that's quite a bit. You've got options existing. You've got options one and two. You have additional fees to consider, and you also have this increase tied to the CPI. Please.
I was just going to ask, is any of the additional fees optional or not?
Yes. Excuse me. Some of them are optional. Insurance is not optional. The overtime scheduled is something that would be on a case-by-case if we incurred that. Generally, that does not happen. We try to schedule a part-timer to handle the rental and not have full-time that would incur overtime. So that one would be off the table. The group is a choice if they want to use the stage of the Betts Hall or not. The group generally do their own setup and breakdown. The deposits are fully refundable. So you're not out the deposit for your event. You would be out the direct cost for services for cleanup, the janitorial that we're trying to apply as a non-refundable cleaning deposit.
Okay, so that would be mandatory, the janitorial
that,
one?
That one would be mandatory.
Oh. Okay.
And the rental attendant would be mandatory, but we would try to work with the group. Oftentimes I'll have staff on that work from 7 to 3:30, and if I can have them open doors and start it, and my rental attendant comes in, say, at 4 and works till 8, then I would charge them for that rental attendant time, not the full-time staff that's already on.
What if somebody's holding a two-hour workshop Would that janitorial fee still be?
No, it would not.
Okay.
Mr. Woods, this is a public hearing. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so shall we open up to the public for comment? Is there...
Yes, now that we've got some public...
Now that we have public here?
We didn't have any before. And so, I mean, right. We could have opened and closed it.
Right.
But holding off on that, and we've had discussion in my reports given, you certainly can do that this time.
I would love to hear from our member of the audience if that's why they're here. So at this point, I'd like to open up to... Pardon me? Next meeting, because I do believe that we have one more meeting prior to this going to City Council. Is that correct?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
May the 7th, I believe it is, the first Thursday in May.
Right. Okay.
Do we want to ask staff to make a recommendation as to what you would like to see as the new fee schedule?
Well,
staff's done that. Staff's given you option one and two, and also existing.
Right.
So we've given you three options.
You're giving us three options, but I'm saying, would you like to give us a recommendation as to the option you'd like to see in place?
Not at this time, I don't.
No. Okay.
Could one of the options, I mean, is anybody considering that 10% across the board?
I think that's a good idea. That's the best thing I've heard all night.
because it wouldn't make it very much more, like for the nonprofit at the 34. And I could see an increase, you know, with the way things are going.
Right. I think after reading the staff report, we were all kind of hung up on let's simplify this structure and make it easier for staff. Sorry, staff, since you're not going to be thrown off your horse by any fee structure we present to you.
What's that, a fifth category?
What's that, a ninth?
Round up to an even.
You know, if we went 10% across the board, you're talking about 340 using the Morro Bay Auditorium. You're talking about a $3.40 increase on nonprofit, $4.50 on residents, $6.40 on non-residents, and $9.30 on profits.
Okay, so with the caveat that we would round up to the next dollar.
Right. We would round to the nearest dollar using elementary school math.
May I interject?
Please.
That if you are looking to do a straight 10% without any rhyme or reason, I think that you'd be walking down a path that you don't want to go down. I think you want to base your decision on an increase in this master fees on something that's more stable. And I'm not saying that CPI is stable, but it's something that is standardly used in the industry, and we are using it now on other fee increments as I say in the staff report, inflation factor. So I think that if you're saying that we would like the staff to review, and as the staff report says, CPI was 198.3 in January of 2006, and in January of 2009, it was 211.143. The difference is about 12.8%. So that's what you, if you're looking to increase the fees, I would say do this in a way that is consistent with city practices. Do it in a way that is a reality. It's tied to the consumer price index, something that is that's out there in the business world. It allows you to continue to increase your fees or adjust your fees with an inflation factor. So 10% sounds nice and easy, but what next year? 10% again? 2%? But if you're saying that we're going to tie to the CPI and we're going to make this adjustment because we haven't made a major adjustment since 2002, at least go back to the cycle, and they break them down, as you see in the history of the CPI, which is in your packet, goes all the way back to 1913, and it has the current of 2009, that you have an adjustment factor. If you went back and used the 06 numbers to 09 numbers, you could get a pretty reasonable, I think, and palatable increase to all your fees across the board.
12.843. Right, well,
whatever, yeah. So it's slightly higher than your 10% suggestion, but also it's tied to the CPI, which allows you to have some background and a foundation on your decision of increasing these fees.
I agree. I think it makes sense to tie it to economic reality, to tie it to the CPI for sure.
Because option one actually looks pretty good on most of them. The only ones, like I say, that is hard to agree on is the first one right off the bat, lowering the profit by so much. I mean, if we could just leave option one on most of them, which do look pretty good, and just change a few of them.
Pardon me, can I ask, would it be possible for you to bring back current rates with the CPI? What did you use to go to the $40? Did you just average it?
It's the average.
Okay.
And yes, then, I'll be doing average.
Just making sure. And would it be possible to bring back a current fee schedule with the CPI so that we
can add to this an additional worksheet, then you can reference back and forth in your next packet if that's going to be acceptable to you.
Do you know if other cities are using the CPI annually to adjust their rates? And if so, which cities?
We can do, staff can make some follow-ups with the cities in our comparison and see how what adjustment factor they're using.
I think that would be great. It would be great to know, for example, if Paso Robles is using the CPI and if they do that annually, if they do it every 5 years, if they adjust it, how and when their time frame is, I guess. I don't want you to be delving into this like the Webster's Dictionary, but I would think that information about how they raise their fees would be, you know, instrumental in making a decision here. We don't want to make it an annual event. If they raised theirs on the CPI, you know, they're not going to look at raising their rates again for another 5 years. I mean,
certainly.
Then do we want to raise ours annually? So
yeah, sometimes you see that the CPI is laid out in blocks, I believe, of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a consideration that you don't do this every year. Maybe we
right.
do this tied to CPI every 5 years, and then we kind of regroup from there. Before we leave this topic, I'd like for you to turn to the next matrix, which is the fees for park usage. And we'll try to go through this rather quickly because we have a few other things we probably want to get to tonight. Staff is giving you something very similar to your previous discussion. This sheet is in regards to park usage, public area use permits in general. And as you are outlined in the staff report, public area use permits are required when groups are posing to erect or maintain a table, booth, or similar structure. They have exceeding 75 people in their group that are gathering. Persons or groups gathering for facility for exclusive time for a time that's exclusive for their use. Any person desiring to solicit or sale. Any person desiring to hold a contest, demonstration, or exhibit. And when there might be an admission or a fee, and any person engaging in a sale or consumption of alcoholic beverages. So these six requirements are by city ordinance that if anything's to occur, you have to have a public area use permit. Staff has interpreted this when it applies to a one-day use reservation. And you'll notice on your matrix that we've crossed out. We're recommending that that staff do away with one-day use reservations. It's rather complicated for staff to determine that the applicant even qualifies for a one-day use reservation. Our city ordinance doesn't allow us even to look at one-day use reservations. It basically says you either need a permit or you don't need a permit. And as I look at this in a little more detail, I could take the perception that if you're renting the Del Mar Hillside barbecue area, you are looking at it for a certain time and you are expecting exclusive use. If that is your expectation, staff believes that you need a public area use permit and not a one-day use reservation. So what was initially started at as here comes Mr. Smith, who is looking to have a one-year-old birthday party, and he's going to have about 20 kids out there, and we're looking to make this rather affordable for him to go out there and do that without having to battle the first-come, first-serve, actually have a reservation. The permit itself is a little bit longer to fill out. Generally, it goes to other departments for conditions. We would not recommend that on small parties such as Mr. Smith's 20 participants at his birthday party. So that's outlined in your staff report. We certainly can bring this back as well, but we would like the commission to consider the elimination of one-day use reservations, making it very simple for us to define if you need or do not need a public area use permit. Okay, so basically we're looking at a facility use application or permit and a parks permit. So, and then we've lumped them together as well. So we will do, if the direction from commission is to come back with current plus CPI and the displayed options plus CPI, that's what we'll do for your next meeting. And I'm looking at the chair, and she's agreeing with me?
Yes, I believe that that's what we're interested in, yes. Unless anybody has anything else to add.
Yeah. Do we need to make a motion?
That would be helpful.
Okay. Motion to have staff come back to our next meeting with an updated fee schedule representing options 1, 2, and 3 plus CPI.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. At this point, I am going to have to excuse myself.
A little head count. We still do have a quorum, so we should continue. We may not get to everything this evening, so we may have a vote at the closer to 7 to table some items. And some unfinished items in the B category was certainly, or even C1, would be in consideration. Acting Chair Munoz and Commission, A1's brought to you by staff. It's an item that we want you to review and make any kind of suggestions or recommendations for staff to implement. Late in 2008, staff was considering items that the council had brought up regarding businesses in Morro Bay, our ties and relationships to those businesses. Staff brainstormed. We met with the Chamber of Commerce. We let them know that traditionally we have hosted 3 softball tournaments in most years. There are also groups that come in, ASA and the USSSA, both have come in and hosted various softball tournaments. This calendar year will be a record of 12 softball tournaments being hosted here in the city of Morro Bay. That's a lot of people. Our Labor Day tournament brings in 24 teams, 22 of which last year were from the Valley. That's 22 teams of at least 12 people on a team plus spouse and family. So we're recognizing the fact that our tournaments are bringing in people from out of the area. They are spending the night, probably multiple nights. They are going to the restaurants and probably the other services throughout town. So there's a lot of money that's involved, and we'll be able to follow up with you on a later date with some of the actual numbers that are projected on how much money and revenues softball tournaments bring in regards to your TOT and also your sales tax. So as we approached the chamber, they were very excited about our offer to partner up and to offer packages to softball teams and participants. And basically, Peter Kendall and his staff were out soliciting. They confirmed local restaurants, local hotels, and also some local businesses in town to offer up a discount to the softball teams that are coming in. There's 2 pages that you have here, and if you could tear off the second page, and you'll see that there is some logos, some pictures on it, and on the back there's a fee matrix. If you'll take this and fold it in half once and then fold it in half again, you'll have what we're going to have is this is the presentation of the package deal. So an individual player will receive this, will issue a whole block of these for their tournament directors, and they'll distribute them throughout their managers, who will give them to their team players, And basically, it's a softball tournament discount card. And you'll see on the front, it just outlines what it is. On the back, it recognizes the discounts were coordinated by the Chamber of Commerce and the Recreation Parks Department. As you open this up, it gives you a little welcome, tells you what the card is, and it actually outlines the team name, the player's name, and the date. And you have a little photo of it, but it's actually a card, and we had it up. If someone could remove the top graphic, we have a little card on the back, on the bottom of that. Thank you very much. So there's the card. So each player will have a card. And now open it up all the way, and now you see that we have all the hotels, and there are 8 hotels that are offering discounts, and we've outlined all the different dates of all the tournaments. So 12 tournament dates, hotels are giving you a discount at various times. Some are sold out, some are given 50%, some are given 25%. It varies with each hotel and each tournament. Below that, you'll see restaurants, participating restaurants that the Chamber's coordinated, and they are offering anywhere from 50% off of the second meal, and it includes some breakfasts and so forth. So, and there's also some activity discounts for electric boats, horseback riding, kayaks, and subsea tours. So it's really a dynamic program that we're trying to put together with the Chamber. We think we hit on something with this many people that are coming into town to tie them into our business district and hotels, restaurants, and other recreational activities is a win-win-win, I think, across the board for everybody involved. And it's nice to see this relationship really taking off. So given that, more the next time around.
Okay, very good. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. None opposed, so 4-0. Now, considering the time, would we still, we should probably take the ones that we need to get done tonight and bring back, like maybe some unfinished business stuff? Should we move to A2?
We may be, if commission has a lot of discussion on A2, we may want to table this to your May meeting. If you feel that staff have presented something that's palatable and worth pursuing, that we would certainly take a quick review of the report and a recommendation. But if there's going to be continued discussion and further additional recommendations, we probably would want to discuss this in detail in May. Staff is asking for a recommendation so we can proceed with a report to City Council.
Okay, yeah, because I think that will be a lengthy discussion one, so I would one of the commissioners have to make a motion to...
Yeah, we want a motion to table that.
Bring that back next month.
Do you want a motion to table A2 through
yes.
B3 through C1? For next month? Or do we have time?
B2 might be too long also. Joe, do you think? We could probably...
A2 and B2 would be lengthy. If you wanted to put up B1, B3, and C1,
yes.
Those could probably be done because you've already reviewed those.
Right.
And just answer any outstanding questions. We could probably move forward fairly quickly.
Okay, so we would make a motion for A2 and B2.
Okay, so motion to table A2 and B2 for next month.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. None opposed? Okay, so we would move to item B1, report on the 2009 Slow Capra Commissioners Workshop.
Thank you, Chair Munoz and Commission. B1's brought to you every year. We review the Slow Capra workshop that was hosted over at Hearst Castle, and Slow Capra of our district put it on. We had two topics of interest, which was branding of the agency, and we can get into some discussion about branding. And the second topic was an advocacy 101. None of our commissioners were able to attend. the workshop, unfortunately, because it does conclude with a nice trail walk out to the lighthouse and a very educational presentation by our state representative, or actually a state person, which is Nick Franco. So unfortunately, we didn't take advantage of that. And getting into all the details probably would be a little bit much right now. So the report basically is that we had no commissioners there, and we had two strong particular topics, and we're going to encourage you to attend next year.
Would we need a motion to accept that for file?
Not on the verbal.
Not on that one. Okay. Do we have time for B3, do you think? The Recreation
and Parks. Yeah, certainly.
Okay, we'll move to item B3, Recreation and Parks Department status report.
Acting Chair Munoz and Commission, thank you once again. The last item we have to discuss this evening is item B3, which is the Recreation and Parks status report. This item is brought to you every month. It's your regular meeting. We try to keep you updated on all programs and services that we're trying to offer. I generally do not get into detail of each one. I will try to highlight a few. If you feel that you want to discuss one, please bring it up at the conclusion of this report. The Del Mar tennis courts are still on freeze. We're waiting for funding from the state. The community pool is still in kind of a limbo, and the groups that are out there, the Morro Bay Pool Foundation is still working on an MOU, feasibility study, and actually there's another group that's working out there as well for a pool. Our Tides is on the web. And our new website is coming soon. I think we increased from March to now we're in April. But I've been looking at some of the preliminaries, and it looks really fantastic. Del Mar Park, you probably have noticed that that's been approved but at the city council level. They are actively and aggressively seeking funds. They have well over $40,000, and they are really pushing hard for their construction and maintenance MOU, and staff is in review of that as we speak. We are pushing ahead with the USLA certified lifeguard program, and the details and the dates are in your report. Youth basketball, softball, foots out of the baseball arena into indoor soccer. I think it's a combination of the excitement of the sport and also the weather at this time of the year. And you can see that our futsal is indoor soccer 112. Change that, 118.
Wow.
And climbing. So we have 118 going into it. And unfortunately, Little League has suffered with the lack of participants in baseball, but we're seeing an increase in futsal. And so if the kids are out playing, we're very happy about that.
Okay, at this point, I would entertain a motion to accept B3 for file.
Motion to accept B3 for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? And last item would be C1, Citizens Reports and Correspondence.
Thank you, Acting Chair Munoz and Commission. C1 is brought to you every month. And this month, we've given you a letter that was from the Bike Club, SLOBikeLane.org. Their executive directors put out a letter. We've included that in your packet for information. So a matter of making a motion and accepting this letter for file is what staff would be looking for.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion to accept C1 for file.
Motion to accept C1 for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? And do we have any future declaration of future agenda items from any commissioners? No? Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Okay. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
I am.
You are. Oh, you got your seat nice and warm.